And that has started. And everything has started, so I'll put the study up. And we are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal HaBeMashiach. And we're spiritual forensic detectives. So we want to make sure everything's always accurate and true. We're just a little piece of the Israel of God around the world. And today's the Sabbath. Isn't that nice? So let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study today. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, Creator of all things, we just thank and praise you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Messiah. We don't sin presumptuously, willingly. Heavenly God, forgive us anything that we've done unknowingly or ignorantly. We just thank and praise you that we have forgiveness of sins through the blood of Yeshua. Bless and anoint this Sabbath day. I pray you'll bless the study, make it fruitful for everyone that hears it now and in the future. I thank and praise you, Lord and God, for give us our little building tomorrow so we can have our services in the public again and bring people to us. And we know there's many people that are trying to get to us. Bless and anoint, Lord and God, this Sabbath day and everyone here. May God answer your prayers and strengthen you and lead, guide, and direct you in everything you do and give you right decisions and correct understanding in all matters and revelation of his word, which is most important. Bless and anoint this day in Yeshua's name, and may God help every one of us in every endeavor. Amen. Yeah. Shabbat Shalom. Well, today is October 24th, 2015. Mm-hmm. And gosh, I was talking today about how 13 or 14 years passed already doing this. You know, it's funny, I was talking to a man this morning on the phone, and he was talking about, I guess he goes to a different congregation, and supposedly the leader there stepping down for one reason or another. But I thought, well, stepping down, that sounds so weird, because I'm not going to step down until either I die, or the Lord sends me a message to, you know, stop, or, you know, but how could you just, it's not something you retire from. Anyway, but it's October 24, 2015. I hope we go on for another 50 years. Wow. Everybody looked at us. That'd be nice. But anyway, we're in the 10th day of the month of Bul in the Bible. It's the 10th day, and Bul means rain. And you should be getting some rain, I suspect, because it's what it's called, Bul. And that's found in 1 Kings 6, verse 38. Okay? And that's where it says the name Bul. And Judaism calls this month Cheshvan or Mar Cheshvan, which is not anywhere in Scripture. Just to let you make sure you know that, okay? Another era of Judaism, which some people copy. Yeah. My ministry is a sort of a teaching ministry, I would say. And I've been doing this for many years, trying to undelete some things that maybe have been covered up in your life. And I'm trying to take them out of the spiritual sand and make sure you understand them clearer. All my studies will be again on my website. My little server is just waiting for me, I could tell. You could read them, you could listen to them, watch them. I've been recording these on my external server down here, so I'll just add these to that. Yeah. Of course, we're on Pow Talk right now. We're not streaming today, but we're here. Anyway, today's topic is a house divided. Whoa. And I don't know how I started thinking about this morning. And it says, Matthew 12:25, Yeshua knew their thoughts. He knows your thoughts.
Yes, he does.
So there's no hiding from God.
Matthew
12:25. And he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And of course, the rest of it is Satan be divided against himself. He comes to an end too, but my point was, in the physical, you know, in the world, anything that's any city or house or kingdom or anything that's divided, obviously it's going to come to an end, which we've definitely seen in the kings of Israel, the kingdom of Israel. And the kings of Israel, you know, it starts out with Saul, who was most of the time evil, and then we have David. And then, of course, we have where the division comes immediately. I mean, it just started just like that. And then we have Solomon and Rehoboam. And that was the end of everything. The whole nation of Israel was divided into two. And that's what we're going to read about today. So my message today is about watch out for division. Okay? And it's funny, I have this message today because certain people who I was talking to again today, and they were talking about there was division and things going on in their congregation. And I said, that's funny. That's my message today. I said, if you only could hear it. I said, but anyway. So we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 11, if you have your Bibles. But King Solomon loved many strange women. I don't know why you would love strange women. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which Jehovah has said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave to them in love. Can you believe that? So-called love. And he went so out of it that he had 700 wives. Talk about lust. This is to the epitome of lust.
How can you remember all
700 wives. I bet he didn't remember their names. Princesses. 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. Hello? I mean, that, you know. And it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. So when he's old, he's gone. His heart was not perfect with Yehovah his God, as was the heart of David his father, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Can you imagine that? And Solomon did evil in the sight of Yehovah. That's called really presumptuous. And he went not fully after Yehovah, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem. That shouldn't have never been there either. And for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Can't imagine. I don't even know how. He couldn't have done that in 1 year, because he had over 1,000 wives. Imagine every day or so many months or weeks he's sacrificing with his wives to different gods. Unbelievable. That's really horrible. And Jehovah was angry. And that, I know that sounds so simple when you read that, but think of the one who created the whole universe. He's angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from Jehovah, God of Israel, which appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which Jehovah commanded. I mean, to me, again, that's like totally going out of your way. That's not like a total something ignorant or accidental. He went out of his way and built shrines to all these fake gods with his wives.
It took purpose.
Yeah. Wherefore Jehovah said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded you, I will surely rend the kingdom from you and give it unto thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And Yehovah stirred up an adversary against Solomon. Just think, God can stir up adversaries against you. Yeah. Hadad.
That'd be a bad adversary.
Yeah. Hadad, the Edomite, he was the king of king's seed in Eden. And it came to pass when David was in Eden, and Joab, the captain of the host, was gone up to bury the slain after he had smitten every male in Eden. For 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel until he had cut off every male in Eden. Then Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him, to go into Egypt, Hadad being yet a young child. And they rose out of Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran, and they came to Egypt unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which gave him a house and appointed him victuals and gave him land. And Hadad found favor in the sight of Pharaoh. It's like two enemies getting together. So that he gave him to wife the daughter, the sister of his own wife, the sister of Taphanes, the queen. Wow, that's weird. And the sister of Taphanes bare him Jenubath, his son, whom Taphanes weaned in Pharaoh's house, and Jenubath was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. And when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers, and that Joab, certain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me depart, that I may go to my own country." Then Pharaoh said unto him, "But what hast thou lacked with me, that behold, you seek to go to thine own country?" And he answered, "Nothing. Howbeit, let me go in any wise." And God stirred up another adversary, Rezin, the son of Eliadam, which fled from his lord, Hadarezer, king of Zobah. And he gathered men unto him and became captain over a band when David slew them of Zobab. And they went to Damascus and dwelt therein and reigned in Damascus. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon. Could you imagine that? Oh, boy. Beside the mischief that Hadad did. And he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephratite of Zeredah, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zerubbah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. Big mistake. And it came to pass that at that time when Jeroboam went out of the Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilamite, found him in the way. And he had clad himself with a new garment. And they too were alone in the field, and Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. Mm-hmm. And he said to Jeroboam, "Take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and give 10 tribes to thee." But he said, "But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Chemosh, the god of Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which was right in my eyes and to keep my statutes and my judgments as did David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince over all the days of his life for David my servant's sake, whom I have chosen, because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hands and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son I will give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen to put my name there. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou will hearken, this is the same message God gives to everybody, if you just hearken unto all that I command you, and if you will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with you, and build you thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever." Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam, and Jeroboam arose and fled unto Egypt, unto Shishak, king of Egypt, that was in Egypt unto the death of Solomon. And the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did, this is verse 41. And his wisdom, are they not written in the books of the Acts of Solomon? We don't have the books of the Acts of Solomon, do we?
No.
And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. That's interesting.
40 years.
And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Now you go to 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, and for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spoke unto Jeroboam, saying, Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make you the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we'll serve you. And he said unto them, depart ye for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men, which you're supposed to do, the Zakanim, you know, that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? And very wisely they said, and they said unto him, if you will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But Rehoboam, he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men, which think they know it all, that were grown up with him, his buddies, which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give you that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which my father did put upon you us lighter? And the young men, I guess because they're young and they don't know what they're doing, that were grown up with him, spoke unto him, saying, this is how you're supposed to speak unto the people that spoke with you. Your father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shall you say unto him, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did laid you with heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. Boy, who would follow somebody if you said that to them? My father chastened you with whips, I will chasten you with scorpions. Why would you listen to those young...
Yeah,
whippersnappers.
That's what people...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had commanded, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly. Who's going to serve you if you do that? Huh. And forsook the old men's counsel, which they gave him. And spoke to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy. I'm going to add to your yoke. My father chasing you with whips, I'm going to chasing you with scorpions. What do you think of that? Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from Jehovah, that he might perform his saying, which Jehovah spoke by Ahijah the Shilamite, the prophet, of course, unto Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones. That he died. Therefore the king Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem, for Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation, made him king over all Israel.
Yep, as he was supposed to be.
And there was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only.
Except Benjamin.
Right. And then Benjamin and some Levites. Mm-hmm. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin and 80,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of Yehovah, the word of Elohim, came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, the remnant of the people, saying, thus saith Yehovah, you shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me.
Mm-hmm.
They hearkened therefore the words of Yehovah and returned to depart according to the word of Yehovah. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If the people go up to sacrifice in the house of Jehovah at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people return again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go to Rehoboam, king of Judah.
So they built a couple statues.
Wherefore the king took counsel, and this guy, instead of like what Aaron did, this guy went and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, here they are, O Israel, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now you would think anybody in that stupid
would have recognized.
They would have said, Wait a minute, we did that already once, and we don't want to do it again. And even if it's their kids and their parents were dead, they would have passed it on. And so he made two calves, and he set one in Bethel, and he put the other one in Dan.
Made it convenient.
Yeah. And this thing became sin, of course. For the people went to worship before the one, and even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam is a real devil. He ordained a feast. He didn't like the feast in the seventh month, Feast of Tabernacles. So he went and made a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like the feast that was in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, and sacrificed unto the calves that he made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar, which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart.
Yes.
And he ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burned incense. And you got all these people in Israel. You think no one would know the Torah or know what they're supposed to do. What would you do if I would rebel against that guy if I was there?
Should.
Now I'm going to go to 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 21, because we had enough of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah, and Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which Jehovah did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. She's not of Israel. It must have been one of Solomon's women he picked up.
Would you say 1 Kings what?
1 Kings 14:21. And now I'm going to verse 29. Because I had enough of him. And the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Yeah, I mean, this guy wrecked everything. There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days.
But they were both evil.
They're both evil. It's like two evil people.
They were both evil.
All because of Solomon and all his wives it started out with. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his they always say, and his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess, and Abijam, his son, reigned in his stead. Anyway, so here we have the whole kingdom of Israel in shambles with two evil people running the show, and the place is split up.
That's right.
All because of people's sins. So your sin can divide a whole world of good.
And what does it say about a leader that's in sin?
Well, the Bible says dead flies cause the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor, so that the little folly in him that is in reputation of wisdom and honor, especially if you're a ruler, just a little folly sends a stench through the realm of your kingdom. Which has happened, I hear, in some different messianic congregations.
A lot of them.
So now I want to go to 2 Kings 24, verse 1. We're just going to jump some verses here. This is Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, comes, God's servant. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against it. Verse 10, at that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. So because of all these people, God, he sent the prophets to warn them. They cautioned all the people, but they would not listen to Jeremiah or Isaiah. And even Ezekiel was there in the captivity, you know. They wouldn't listen. 2 Kings 25:1, and it came to pass in the 19th year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem and pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. Nebuchadnezzar came a few times there. But you can read all that history yourself. But we know that they were there for 70 years in captivity. You can go to Jeremiah, verse 29, verse 10. For thus saith Jehovah, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. So imagine knowing that you're in a captivity for 70 years because of the sins and you wouldn't repent. Even Brother Daniel knew that in chapter 9, verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of Jehovah came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So that was Jeremiah 29:10 and Daniel 9:2. Okay? So 70 years, that's a whole lifetime, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll be 72.
So imagine if you were just born in the... Yeah, imagine if you were just born in the captivity. You'd just be getting out.
I would have been 2 years old.
Wow. That's because of... it all started way back there, Solomon. But I guess it goes way back, if you want to go way back, to sin. So the scattering of the children of Israel, they were scattered, right? Jeremiah 9:16, I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Jeremiah 13:24, therefore I will scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. Jeremiah 18:17, I will scatter them as the east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, they're scattered away. But then there's some hope. Jeremiah 23:7. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that they shall no more say, Jehovah lives that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but Jehovah lives that brought up and which led the seed of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries where I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. So after 70 years, you know, we have a rebuilding, we see. And even in 2 Chronicles 36:22, we have this first announcing, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Jehovah spoke by the mouth of Jeremiah, so they always quote Jeremiah, might be accomplished. Jehovah stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, which is Iran today.
Yeah.
They would roll over if they knew this. All the kingdoms of the earth, it says, all the kingdoms of the earth hath Jehovah, God of heaven, given me. And he had charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all the people? Jehovah his God be with him, and let him go up. So here we have God stirring up a spirit of someone you would never suspect, and even naming him like hundreds of years before he even came on the scene in the book of Isaiah. You know, it's pretty amazing. And then we have Ezra, who's there. Ezra chapter 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Jehovah by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, Jehovah stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith, this is Ezra 1 and 2, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, Jehovah God of heaven had given me and all the kingdoms of the earth, and he had charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all the people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of Jehovah, God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Amen. And all, even today, he's still God, and there's none else. Ezra 6:15, and this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which is the 12th month, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. So we have Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, the three kings that were commissioned, starting with Cyrus, you know. And they did it. And Ezra and Nehemiah accomplished the rebuilding of the whole place that Nebuchadnezzar broke down by the word of Jehovah because of the sins of all these people. So a division is what causes so much turmoil. And that's why, I guess, Apostle Paul has stressed so many times in his letters to all those nations that he went to that you have to be of one mind, one heart, one voice, one thought. You know, you have to always be one.
Which is obviously hard.
And it's hard for some people. Yeah. So anyway, I'd like to read chapter 37 about those dry bones.
Ezekiel.
Yeah. I'll give you a moment to get there.
Once everybody gets wrong.
Yeah, this is what everyone gets wrong. And there's so many two-house doctrines out there in the world, so many flavors of that that's so mixed up and so wrong. Chapter 37. And this is Ezekiel, a prophet of God that was in the captivity. He says, "The hand of Jehovah was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of Jehovah and set me down in the midst of a valley that was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man." He's the only one that I know that's called Son of Man besides the Messiah himself. "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "Oh, Lord Jehovah, you know." And he said unto me, "Prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Jehovah. Thus saith Jehovah unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am Jehovah." So I prophesied, and I was as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon the bones that were there, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, God says this to Ezekiel, "Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live." Wow. So God can resurrect the whole dead. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said unto me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." It's the whole house of Israel. All the sons of Jacob. "Behold, they say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost. And we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith Jehovah, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Jehovah when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves." You know, it feels like that sort of happened to us. We were spiritually dead in our sins and trespasses, and also, just like the children of Israel, we were brought up out of our grave spiritually. And I'm just saying, there's a correlation, and God put breath in us and made us alive with His Holy Spirit and His salvation through the blood of the Messiah. Anyway, "And you shall," it says, "and you shall know that I am Jehovah, which have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am Jehovah, that have spoken it and performed it, saith Jehovah. The word of Jehovah came again unto me, saying, Moreover, son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah, and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions." So this is everyone. "And join them one to another into one stick. and they shall become one in thine hand. Mm-hmm. Amen. And when the children of, it says, when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, what wilt thou, it says, wilt thou not show us what you mean by these? Say unto them, thus saith Jehovah, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them in, with him, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. It's not, so there's no more Judah and Ephraim. They're one body of Israel. One body. And all the sticks wherein thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, thus saith Jehovah, behold, I will take the children of Israel. This is what he's doing. He's taken all the children of Jacob, all of them from among the heathen, where they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, of course not. And they shall be divided, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, which is symbolic of Messiah here, my servant shall be king over them. This is all spiritually talking about Messiah.
In other words, it's not later. It happened already.
This has happened already when
it's
Messiah.
Not in the future.
This is not in the future. Sure. This is right now. Because Messiah already came, and Messiah, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them.
Yep.
So obviously, when Ezekiel is talking about David, my servant, shall be king over them, obviously David's been dead for a long time. He's talking about the Messiah. Amen. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children forever. And my servant David, which is Messiah, shall be king, shall be their prince forever.
Oh, okay.
Amen.
So anybody who reads that thinks it's a future.
And you might say, physically, are you supposed to be in Israel? It's nice to go there, but not really, because it's Sodom and Egypt. But there's a spiritual Israel of God that you better join.
Yes.
And you better be there with the one God of Israel. That's right. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Praise God. Hallelujah. My tabernacle shall also be with them. Yeah, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, Jehovah, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Amen. So then we go to the time of Yeshua, when he died, and his resurrection, John chapter 1, verse 46. It says, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told what things Yeshua had done. He just rose someone from the dead, I believe, or did something there. Chapter 1, verse, is it chapter 1? Oh, maybe I got the wrong chapter. Is it chapter 11?
It's about the 2 houses.
Let's double check that chapter.
Yeah,
I must have. Is it John 11?
I think so. Let me look. But I'm pretty sure it is.
Let's double check that real quick. We can check that real fast.
Mm-hmm. Which verse are you going to
start
with?
We're going to start with verse 46. It says, but some of them went.
46. No, wait, I'm in the wrong chapter. Sorry.
Okay.
Yes. That's right.
John 11.
Yep. I know.
John 11. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, told them what things Jesus had done. And if you could read before that, what did he do right before that? Didn't he raise someone from the dead? He raised Lazarus from the dead. And the Pharisees and everybody's upset. You would think they would be happy.
Strange people.
Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we, for this man does many miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation.
Status.
That's so ridiculous. Now one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, being a high priest that year. He prophesied that Yeshua should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Verse 52. And he has done it, and he's doing it until the end of the world, I suspect.
Of course.
And Paul says now that Paul, Brother Paul, echoes the same message in many of his letters. And he says, even both the Jews and Gentiles, this even for them, there's supposed to be in Ephesians, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Chapter 4, verse 5. Verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And there's many verses I could have added to this, but this to show you that even though Satan causes division and brings division to the body and of God, God always tries to bring a rescues it and brings you back if you just repent, you know, and you just come to God and say, you know, really repent of your sins. Sad to say, in 2015, Israel again is apostate from the God of Israel again, you know. But in closing, so I want you to, the message today is, watch out for division. Watch out for people that cause division. You should be, you know, cognizant of everything that's going on around and about you. Remember, if a kingdom be divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Right?
Yeah, right.
So this is, I mean, this isn't a long message, but this is what came to me this morning. And believe it or not, it's still over an hour. It's after 1:10. Yeah, I'm sure. And I was speaking fast too.
Yeah, I know you were.
But make sure that you try to remember anything that causes division is not good in your life or in your, even in what you do in life, people that cause division or try to make, you know, upset what's normally supposed to happen or what's correct, I guess. I should say that, what's correct. We know that this is a time, 'tis the season to be pagan, so watch out for Halloween that's coming. Halloween was banned until 1845, and all the stores are decorated. 157 million Americans will be doing this again this year. 157 million. And then, of course, there'll be many pagans doing Xmas, because there's no Messiah in that. It's just a bunch of buying and I don't know what it is. That was banned till 1659 in America. Anyway, you can read all about Halloween on my website and Christmas. So beware about all this, the false feeling of love and the false feelings and emotions that you might try to come at you. And watch out for loneliness and depression, which is all merely made up. I don't think any of you get feelings of suicide. And watch out for the spirit of spending all your money and going into more debt is trying to come upon people.
Everybody else is doing it.
Yeah, so watch out for all that, these false feelings that are going on and the music that's played in the stores and the fake lights and the confetti and the dressings, and they try to make you. A man was asking me about Thanksgiving this morning, and I said, well, think about it. Go on Google and Google origin of Thanksgiving. You'll see some lady pushed the issue, and some presidents were, you know, affected by that. And one president finally just made one day a Thanksgiving day, a day of repentance that he made up. And it's just all made up when it has nothing to do with the God of Israel. So now we're not against football. We're not against turkeys. We're not against dressing. We are against made up feasts that have nothing to do with God, the God of Israel. So, anyway, I hope you got something out of this little quick study, even though it didn't feel quick, because there's a lot of there's a lot of characters in this play, I call it. We have, you know, Saul was, he was evil, and then Solomon, right after that, went after all these wives when he's old. Can you imagine that? Well, God appeared to him twice, and I don't know how he can imagine, I can't even imagine how he did that. I mean, and then, of course, after that, Rehoboam listened to the young men. What I do is I listen to everyone, but I make sure it's in accordance with the scriptures. Make sure it's according with God's judgment and God's righteousness. I listen to young and old, but I make sure it's accurate, I make sure it's scriptural, and make sure it's righteous, because we are God's judges, which is really important. But in Rehoboam's situation, he just went along with the people that he grew up with him, and then he forsook the old counsel, which was the good godly counsel.
His buddies.
Yeah, and you could see turmoil persisted for many, many years until God had enough, and he sent Nebuchadnezzar, and then later on he sent Sennacherib and all these other guys. They destroyed Israel, took them away, and it's just a total disaster, only because of sin and people not adhering to the commandments of God and statutes and the ordinances. Yeah, God lets sin go on and lets it ripen, and then he puts the hammer down.
Which he's especially going to do in this world.
Yeah, in this world, it's going to happen again one day in someone's lifetime. And so anyway, hope you got something out of this message.
Isaiah 11 also talks about how he gathers the people together.
In Isaiah 11, it talks about, it says it many places in the Bible, Isaiah 11.
So,
there's many places where he already gathered the people together and is gathering them. And we're gathered right now, and I'm sure they'll be after us too.
So if they're expecting it to happen in the future.
Oh, it's not happening in any time. I don't know what they're thinking, but I say Shabbat Shalom to you today if you have any questions or comments. I might add Isaiah 11 to that. There's other verses too.
But I mean, it explains it really well. So.
And I can't wait for tomorrow to rehash our lease to get our building back for our congregation, which is only really a few doors down from our last congregation,
exactly.
Not far. And we'll just go in there real quick and set it up, and they could, I guess, paint and do everything as we'll be on Saturdays, of course. Mm-hmm. Anyway, may God bless you today and bless the rest of this Sabbath. Bless the singing, the food, everything we do. Let it be to the glory of God.
Yes.
And may God be with you with right decisions and discernment, which is very important. Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom.
Amen. Shalom. Bye. Shabbat Shalom. Stop that.